All right. Good evening, everyone. Pads on, mouthpiece in, blow the whistle, and here we go. My name is Brandon.
And I am Matt.
And we are the Fantasy Burners Podcast. This is our episode number 4. And in tonight's episode, we wanted to talk about our league of record, primarily because we have a pretty big auction draft coming up on Thursday, actually. So it'll be 2 evenings from now that we have our open auction for all of our free agents that aren't currently rostered on our dynasty teams. So we've got a couple things we want to go over. First thing that we want to talk about is sort of the philosophy going into the evening, and sort of what some of the strategies to kind of look at. Because the good thing about the way that dynasties are set up is you already know, for the most part, the prime players are picked up, and other teams that are in your league are going to have different salary caps that they have left available to actually spend in this open auction. So there's some different philosophies that we think about when we go into it. We just kind of wanted to go into those a little bit to just, I guess, give some insight of what we think about going into that draft. So Matt, did you want to kick it off with sort of the kind of the first philosophy, maybe from a positioning standpoint, or where'd you want to kick it off at?
Yeah, let me talk about that. I think that's a good, opening conversation to have with everybody. And it's applicable across a lot of different draft formats. So there's a way to kind of manipulate everything so that you're ready for the draft when you get in there. That way you're not spending time scrambling if you're on a 60 second clock or 30 second clock. That way you feel as prepared as you can to go into that draft. So whether it's dynasty or redraft, a lot of these things have a lot of the same tenor to them, and you can kind of morph it as you need. So what I wanted to talk about today was in our league of record, our dynasty draft, we have certain position tendencies. So everyone kind of tends to carry 4 quarterbacks, 5 running backs, 7 wide receivers, 3 or 4 tight ends, and then we have IDPs. So what that allows you to do is start to drill down and extrapolate where everybody's pending free agency dollars are going to go. So we have a $350 salary cap. So let's say you're keeping, I'm going to take one of our teams as an example here. They are keeping $295 of their salary cap to go across 27 players. So that means they are going to sign 3 free agents in the offseason. Well, what does that mean? So that means that you add $3, because every free agent that you have is going to cost at least $1. So you add $3 onto your top already, and you get to $298. Well, that says this player at a max could go out and spend $52 on a single player. They could actually spend $53 because, yep, of the $1 bounce. So this team could actually go out and spend $53 on a single player and really run that salary up. Well, if I look across their expected roster of what I, how many I kind of expect each team to carry, they're covered at quarterback, they're covered at wide receiver, they're covered at tight end, and they need one linebacker. So I have them as needing 3 spots. So I assume when I go into it that this team is going to target running back pretty heavily, because they need 2 running backs. Coincidentally, I also need 2 running backs. And my salary cap space is $98. So I know when I get into the draft, I'm going to be able to outbid him as well as everybody else, because I have the highest salary cap range. I'm going to be able to outbid anybody I want for that person that I want, but I have a lot of free agents to sign. So I have 12 free agents to sign, where he has 3. Brandon has 9, it looks like. So he's got some work to do, but he only has $38 in salary cap. So he's going to have to really kind of look and narrow in on his allocations of where he wants to put those dollars, or expect to spend those dollars, if that makes sense. So there's not a lot of need for quarterback in our league. Everybody has 3 or 4 or 5 quarterbacks. So I think the quarterbacks are going to be relatively inexpensive, so you might be able to get a value there. Wide receivers, everybody except for Brandon and I have at least seven wide receivers already on their roster. So Brandon and I are probably going to try to bid on a wide receiver against each other, but everybody else is probably not going to run up the dollar valuation on a wide receiver. So we know going into the draft that you're going to have some premium positions. One of them is going to be running back for sure. There are a ton of teams that need running backs, and we know running backs get hurt. They kind of, we're especially with COVID now, if they get, a 2 or 3 week COVID indicator, then their backup becomes that much more meaningful. So you're going to probably sign some handcuffs, things like that. And it looks like everybody needs some linebackers. So linebackers actually score pretty highly in our league. So we're in between kind of a running back wide receiver. So we've made them a very important position on the field. So there's going to be a lot of linebackers that go as well. But just the general philosophy is do as much legwork as you can based on how your league is set up. Even in redraft leagues, have a sheet that has your starting rosters. If it's a one quarterback league, just put quarterback in the slot one for every team. And if it's two running backs, put two running back and then a running back in slots two and three for each team. And just have a checklist. So as you go through the draft, if you can keep up with the selections, cross them off as people get them. Because the philosophy in a redraft is if you're the last team that needs a starting quarterback, don't take a quarterback. In the round that you think you have to reach for one, because you're going to be the only one who's looking for a quarterback, unless somebody starts taking backup quarterbacks, which at that point, now they're just pushing better players to you. So you can take that extra running back or wide receiver higher in the draft and push your quarterbacks, your list of, you're going to be streaming quarterback anyway at that point, probably. So push all those quarterbacks down the list and try to load up on those other positions, because that's just going to help you in the long run.
Yeah, and to add to that, right, redraft is a little different than what we go through. I think with redraft, to Matt's point, right, if you have to get a quarterback, if that's and everybody else is full up on their first and second quarterbacks, you still need your second. But say all the remaining players in running back and wide receiver are not really in the tier that you would want to draft them. I think you got to look at that too, right? And the same thing goes with salary caps, right? So if you need a quarterback and your guy is available and your downplay of a running back or wide receiver isn't going to help your running back or wide receiver core, just get your quarterback, right? And but it's kind of pivoting back to the dynasty side of it when we're talking about the salary caps too. If you have the need there, and someone's going after it, and you can outbid them, and you've got a number two there, but you really like that number one is your focus. Get that number one, right? Don't let the opportunity pass you by in hopes that maybe this running back that's down the list here is going to go cheaper because you never know who's targeting what. But to proper planning is going to help you kind of go through that. So Matt mentioned kind of my cap space that I have left. I've got nine players I need to draft. I know that I need to pick up two defensive linemen, or at least three, probably just because I have one rotation, because I have no defensive linemen. So I've got three players already allocated for a dollar that I know 100% I'm going to pick them up. And D linemen are kind of a dime a dozen, right? There's not very many. There's not very many top guys in that position. Maybe this year with our kind of scoring changes, there's going to be a little differentiator there with them. But I just know that $3 of mine is already spent to that. So that puts me at really, really needing six players left. And with that, six players, that puts me at $44, right, on my available cap space left. So my strategy is actually going to be pretty interesting because I feel like I can target heavily either on one receiver or run one running back really heavily, either way. So I'm going to wait most of this out and see what, Matt and see what a couple of the other owners are going to do to really, drive up their cap spending. That way, so I can start to target who I'm actually going to go for, because I know I'm not going to get the first one. I know I'm not going to get the second one. I'm probably not going to get the third, maybe not even the fourth. So it's really who's fifth up that I can get, that I can spend my cap money on to pick up that option to really help my team. And it's really, at this point, it's going to be my flex player, right? Somebody that I can throw in there as the fourth, you know, the fourth position, or that's going to jump in as my bye week player. So that's sort of my strategy going into it, looking at where everyone's at. So, you know, again, like I said, when you're targeting where you're going to be at, it's not always, you want to look at the players that are available, but you also want to kind of strategize your position, right? So I know that I'm not going to get those first few players, so I'm going to let them go. I might even kind of help drive up the price a little bit, and if somebody drops out, then hey, I've got my number one and I can just move on. So
yeah, and I think it's a nice pivot. And so I have my strategy is a little bit different from I don't necessarily go after a targeted one or two players when I'm going through that, and I don't necessarily look at a tiering based system on it because of the ability to carry salary cap through the year. I'm able to give myself a little bit of a cushion so that as you have those free agents pop throughout the year, as you guys have, you know, as we have guys that, you know, somebody gets injured and everybody's going after the same guy, if you have the most salary cap space, you can guarantee that you get that desirable free agent during the year. Well, if you max out everything at the beginning of the year, you lose some flexibility. And the name of the game is flexibility, right? So you need to be able to pivot, and you need to not feel like you're constrained to the point where, man, I shouldn't have spent $40 on Todd Gurley when I could have spent, you know, 21 on Lev Bell, or however that, you know, runs out. Then you make sure to give, even if Todd Gurley is in that next tier, if Todd Gurley maybe only starts, you know, if you're only planning on him starting 3 or 4 games during the year, is that extra premium worth, you know, your tier jump, is your tier jump worth that extra, you know, 15 or, you know, 7 or 8% on your salary cap? So,
yeah. And one other thing to add to that, right? So you talk about flexibility. I think this is an important time to look at, and you should do this in redraft too. Like when you're in those later rounds and there's just people that are left, don't go with somebody that's going to sit on your bench the entire time and, you know, score 150 points throughout the year. Go for somebody who has maybe the backup running back to a prime, you know, in a prime offense, right? You know, that I think those flyers, those potential free agents, if Kenyon Drake gets hurt, right? If Kenyon Drake gets hurt in Arizona, Chase Edmonds is a clear backup. He's going to jump in. He's going to take the starting role, and he's going to score buku points, right? So if you can attack somebody like that in free agency, in dynasty, or in pre-auction, you know, auction draft, like that's sort of the strategy that I like to look at towards the end. And redraft is the same way, kind of in those later rounds. Don't go for somebody who's like a James White. I think James White is pretty useless if you've got, you know, two primed running backs that are already in those lead workhorse roles. Go for somebody who's a backup that would take over the reins if somebody got hurt, or maybe it's your handcuff that you need to pick up for whatever reason, right? So just kind of be strategizing those things as well. I think those players are important to look at. So
I think a lot of that is roster construction. Just to throw one bit in there, I think you made the key point of, you know, be ready to not take those players if you get, you know, two stud running backs top draft. But if you're in a redraft league and you draft in the 8 or 9 spot, and you end up with Davante Adams, and then the turn comes back around and Tyreek Hill falls to you, start out your draft Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill, and then fill your bench with guys who are going to score 150 to 180 points at the running back position. Some of these guys we're probably going to talk about here that are late round flyers that are just going to be consistent pass catchers, because what you're making up for at the premium position of a wide receiver is now you have the availability to actually, you're never going to have that high running back scoring total. You would have to get insanely lucky to find those booms at that point. So then it's roster construction. And do you feel like you need to go, you know, put extra, you know, draft capital into running backs? Or if you have a James White that you are pretty confident is going to catch 75 passes this year, 70 passes this year, do you just get him and plug him in, knowing that you already have a position advantage at wide receiver over every other team in the league? So, it's really kind of how your draft lines out. You have to be ready to pivot on how you strategize, what you're going to draft, when you're going to draft, and how that roster construction all pieces together. So,
yep. Yep. Okay. So let's pivot a little bit into, so that's sort of the strategy section. I apologize. Mm-hmm. I think I missed this at the beginning, but sort of the second portion of tonight's episode, we want to talk about kind of the different positions, who our number one free agent is for the auction draft, and then sort of those flyers that we want to go after, those targeted, you know, one or maybe $2 bids if somebody, if you don't necessarily have, you know, have the lock in at $1, you might bid two just so somebody else doesn't outbid you at two, and then you're stuck paying three for them, right? So let's go kind of through those by position, and we'll start with quarterback. So for me, quarterback, at the quarterback position, my number one target. So on our really the top three guys that we have, we talked about last week, Rivers, Big Ben, and Cam Newton. My target's Big Ben. I think he's going to have a crazy year. I think he's going to be well over 4,000 yards, assuming he stays healthy. He looks great coming out of the full season without playing. He's lost a bunch of weight apparently. I think he might have even shaved his beard, but he looks really good, and a lot of good things are being said. I think he's got some great targets out there that's really going to help put him in a top 10 scoring position. I think Big Ben has a pretty good chance at a huge rebound this year. So he's my number one target. Who's your number one, Matt?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Cam. I like Cam Newton. I was a little bit worried early season with where they actually valued Stidham, but Stidham has a hip injury now. So Cam has taken over practice. Cam is starting to kind of show everybody what he's about. And we talked about injury history and different things like that. I did see a report out of Steelers camp that said Ben had been short arming some stuff. So I do still worry a little bit about where Ben's health is at. But I think Cam Newton is ready. Now, Cam has his own plethora of injuries to deal with. But as far as that, right, and in this position, we're drafting upside, right? We're looking for who is that guy that can take, you know, can get into the top 10 in this type of league. And I think Cam has that opportunity. And I'll lean back on one of the arguments you made for Kyler Murray. Last week was, you know, the guy who can get, you know, 500 to 600 yards rushing in a single season gives you a nice floor. And I think that's Cam. That's certainly not Ben. If Big Ben gets you 50 yards rushing in a year, you're probably pretty happy. But I think Cam Newton's going to have a nice safe floor. He's got some decent weapons. They want, you know, New England's going to have him have the ball out of his hand quickly. He's going to be on short routes. He's got Edelman. He's got N'Keal Harry. And I think Ozzie Osiak just got hurt, the rookie tight end. So Keen is going to, you know, hopefully step up into that tight end role. And then they just have a ton of pass catching backs, just like, you know, in 2018, Cam Newton, I believe, threw 106 passes to Christian McCaffrey. So he's used to that dump off pass. So interesting that we segued from James White into this. I think James White is poised to catch a lot of those passes. I think they're going to kind of keep things rolling. And I've already said, I think they're going to be in pretty negative game scripts most of the time, maybe not most of the time, but I think they're probably an 8-8 team. And if that's the case, Cam Newton is going to be dropping back, passing the ball a lot. Quite a few of those are going to be dump off passes. So I like his chances of putting up some yardage, both on the ground and through the air.
Yeah, and we talked about Cam in length. He worries me a little bit just being in the new Belichick office offense. Excuse me. I don't know how that's going to mesh. Belichick's he does great with what he has, so I'm sure that he's going to make great use of it. I just wonder how long, how well Cam can kind of mesh to Belichick, because I don't think it works the other way around. I think for the most part, the players have to mesh with Bill. He doesn't really change his style for the players. He does work with what he's got, but okay. So those are our top targets. I like Big Ben. Matt likes Cam. I'm going to say, for low cost kind of pickup stretch flyer quarterback, and this is kind of a combo, so it's a sort of a two hit. I would be targeting, if you absolutely had to, if you couldn't get, Rivers or Big Ben or Cam Newton, I'd actually look at maybe the Dwayne Haskins, Alex Smith combo, because Alex is coming off of injury. Apparently he's killing it, working out and things like that. So he looks really great coming off the injury. So I would take it as a flyer, right? This is if you already have three, maybe even four, top quarterbacks already in the position, and you're just looking for a flyer fill in, just kind of a fun pickup combo. So the Dwayne Haskins, Alex Smith combo at Washington, and it sounds awful and I hate saying it, but I kind of like it. It's kind of fun. It costs you $2, but
yeah, my comp to that is Nick Foles. I would take Foles over that combo any day, because the likelihood that either of those quarterbacks actually make your starting lineup is super low. But Nick Foles, while Alex Smith hasn't played football in 2 years, and Dwayne Haskins is not a starting NFL quarterback. Well, he is, but he isn't a starting NFL quarterback. Nick Foles is a Super Bowl MVP. And he's, if the Chicago offense looks bad, Nagy is coaching for his life. So
Trubisky's out.
Turn to? Yep. He's going to turn to a Super Bowl MVP, and Trubisky will be back on the bench.
That's fair. Yeah. I like that one too. Foles was real close, but, looking at that, I think that there's going to be some other folks that are targeting him. That's sort of why I went the Dwayne Haskins, Alex Smith combo. Cause I know that's $2. That's all you got to spend on that. So
you'd be the only one targeting.
But it's a fun combo. What if Alex Smith just blows up? You look like a genius. All right. So let's transition over to running back, Matt. I'll let you start off with your number one, and I'll counter with mine.
Yeah. I hate kind of saying this on air, cause I know the guy who dropped him is going to listen to this episode. He's listened to all of them so far. But my number one is David Johnson. So just a fun fact, through week six, DJ was the number five scoring PPR running back. He was on pace for 80 catches, 202 carries, 800 rushing yards, and 13 touchdowns. And if we look at the other running backs around him, being Gurley and Bell, which I'm sure we're going to hear about Gurley here in just a second. When you look at David Johnson, he has more limited health concerns compared to Gurley coming into the year. Gurley is an ongoing health concern. I think David Johnson has a chance to be through his health concern. And if he is, he steps into a position where Bill O'Brien has to use him to make himself not look like an idiot. And he has Deshaun Watson throwing him the ball. So I'm pretty, and if you look at his receiving stats, they were just gaudy last year. I mean, they were just nuts for the first six weeks. And then he got dinged up a little bit. So, and then when Kenyon Drake came in, he just took over the job. That didn't make David Johnson a bad running back. It just meant he didn't have the opportunities anymore. And to go against Bell, he at least doesn't carry the stigma of being with Adam Gase in that offense in New York. And I trust zero things that come out of an Adam Gase offense, especially a running back, and especially a running back who is already at odds with Adam Gase. That is a spiteful human being. But DJ is my number one. He would actually be in just looking at, I'm pretty bullish on him. I think he's got a really, I think he has a better shot at being a top 14 running back this year than he has at not being a top 14 running back this year. So I think he's primed for a bounce back.
Yep. Yep, we talked in length about really these three guys last week. The Gurley, Bell, Johnson, but I'm actually going to say I'm going to throw all of my coin on running back at the sort of the number two geriatric in the league. AP. No, I'm just kidding. It's Gurley. So Gurley's the guy that I'm going to target in that position out of the three. I think there's three clear front runners that are in our league that are available. Gurley, Bell, and Johnson. Matt, I think, hit all the high notes of each of them. I'm more bullish on Gurley than I am Johnson. We just haven't seen that spark from him that, coming off the injury that we did initially, which skyrocketed his value a couple years ago. Gurley hasn't shown any major signs that the injury is still lingering. He was sort of put on the back burner. Not really in the back burner. He wasn't the prime workhorse that they had him for 2 years in LA. They kind of positioned him and sort of made it, committee, and took him off the field a lot and took him out of those passing positions. So, or the pass plays that, really made him stand out for two seasons. So I think Atlanta's going to hopefully change their tune on that and pivot and utilize his skills more, regardless of what the injury status is, right? I know we talk about injuries. We've got to be worried about those as fans and as players and as owners, et cetera. But you also got to use your players to what they're meant to be used for and what they're paid for, right? So Gurley, you got to give him the ball. Once you give him the ball, he does all the magic. So Gurley's my target. Johnson's your target. Let's pivot to our stretch values. I actually have two, so I'm going to talk about my first one because I imagine he's on a lot of boards. So I know that I'm going to have to probably pay a little bit for this person. So I'm going to make sure to stash a few of my dollars so I make sure and get Mr. Chase Edmonds. That is my backup to Kenyon Drake. I need to make sure that I lock him up as the handcuff to Kenyon out there in Arizona. So I know I'm going to have to stash a few bucks, hopefully not more than three or four, but I'm going to stash some cash to try to pick him up and make sure that I get him in that position. I think he's poised. If something happens to Kenyon Drake, he's poised to do good things.
Yeah. In my dart throws, I like Chris Thompson this year. I think Jacksonville is going to be down in a ton of games. Chris Thompson had 27 catches through the first 6 weeks of last year. So he still has the juice. Gruden just came on the coaching staff this year. They brought Chris Thompson in with Gruden. And we know what that connection was like in Washington when they were there. So if they're down in games, they're going to be in 2 minute drill a lot. And they don't like Leonard Fournette. They've made that known. He doesn't like them back. So I think Chris Thompson is going to see the field a lot if he can avoid the injury bug. The reason he's down here is because of injury bug. The one that I would throw my proverbial coin at would be the next two guys that I have on my list, Boston Scott. So an injury to Miles Sanders, and that turns Boston Scott into a league winner. For weeks 14 through 17, which was 4 weeks, real short time frame, but really the only time span we have for Boston Scott. Scott was the number seven running back in the league. You know who was number eight?
Kenyon Drake?
Miles Sanders. So we have a history where Philadelphia can carry two running backs in the top eight for a given time frame because their wide receivers are terrible. Their tight ends are already dinged up. Both Ertz and Goddard were both going through some stuff at camp right now. So they have a chance. They have a chance to both be contributing factors on the team just as a standalone value. But if Sanders, who had a lower body injury coming into camp here, if Sanders gets injured, he becomes the workhorse and becomes a top 10. I mean, he becomes the guy that you spend your fab on. Not aware fab is free agent acquisition budget. So it's essentially a salary cap type of waiver system that you use in a lot of redraft leagues or you should use it in redraft leagues. So just a little tidbit there, but my next guy is Brian Hill. And I say that because of the Gurley conundrum that we have on our hands here. So he's insurance against a Gurley injury, or even just time missed. The team is said to love this guy, and they want him to get his shot. He's young, and he's got plenty of tread left, and he's supposedly worked on his pass catching. Now it's not like he's a Jordan Howard pass catcher coming in where he just has brick hands. So he's not terrible in that vein, but he makes up the trio of guys that I'll be targeting late in rounds. And if you notice, all of those guys had, you know, decent running backs in front of them, but guys who might get injured. And if they get injured, they're the clear number two. I always want the guy who is, if I'm going to roster a guy at a running back position, I want the clear number two, not a, if something happens to the number one, it becomes a committee and he's just the pass catching back no matter what. I don't think Armstead in Jacksonville does anything against Chris Thompson, no matter what happens to Leonard Fournette. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think those are good pickups. So the last one that I want to talk about, and this is, I saved this one for last because I don't think, I can't imagine anybody is looking at this person, which makes it all the more fun for me because this is a person that I can pick up for a dollar and stash and leave on my roster for 2 years. And then this person jumps into a starting role in an offense that I think would surprise you when I say it. So the person that I'm going to mention is named DJ Dallas. So this was a running back picked up by Seattle as a rookie this year. You won't even see him on the depth chart at this point, but they've got him picked up. Obviously still, he profiles very much like Chris Carson. So he's 5'10", 225. He's an explosive runner, but he's very elusive as well. Chris Carson, right, is going to be coming up in 2021, I believe, at the end of his contract. You got Rashad Penny as the backup, and then Carlos Hyde as the number three. So I think this guy is, I think they're going to be looking at grooming him sort of over the next 2 years to jump into a position that is lead back in an offense that focuses on a lead back, right? Chris Carson gets a lot of work. Whoever that starting running back is in Seattle is going to get a lot of work. So this is the person that it's a very, very long dart throw. It's something that if I get lucky and pick up this person for a buck, if somebody else spends a dollar on him, I'm probably not going to, but, this is one that if I've got a dollar at the end of the auction, I'm going to throw it at this person and then just park him on my roster for probably 2 years. But you don't get the opportunity to pick up a potential starting running back at a rookie position, without paying more than a dollar. So, I think some of these you have to look at what their value is, not just now, right? Because he's not really going to do anything this year and probably not a whole lot next year. But I think in year three, as they develop in as he develops into that year two and maybe takes over some more responsibility, they're going to look to hopefully push him into that lead position. If not, I can drop him. So really no sweat. Okay, let's pivot over to wide receivers. So let's see. I took quarterback. You took wide running backs. I'll take wide receiver. So my list is pretty short on my all my dollars that I'm going to spend on wide receiver maxing out. So I really have three guys that I can position pretty easily into my number one slot. So I don't have a whole lot of concern there, but Marvin Jones is actually my guy that I want to get picked back up. So dropped him, 10 days ago. And I am looking to pick him up for cheaper than what I dropped him for. We'll see how that goes. I imagine that, he's probably one of your targets. He's probably a couple other folks' targets as well. So I may or may not be able to get him back, but he's definitely at the top of my list for pickups that I want to get in, this free agent auction.
Yeah, and actually my opening line on number one wide receiver says Jones, but assuming you'll take him, so I'll go with Edelman. So, yeah, I kind of had you pegged there. Yeah, so Jones would be my number one target, but we touched on him all last week, and I don't know if we've done the due diligence with Edelman that he probably deserves. So I'm going to give a couple just quick notes for Edelman, and some of these are going to sound that they're not for Edelman, but it's just in relation to would I rather have Jones than Edelman? Yes. So there's some of them that are a little bit dicey in there, but I think the case for Edelman is that there aren't a ton of options there. And he's clearly the number one. He is going to be in an offense where there's quick hit passes, and that's what the Pats want to do. He's had 90-plus catches in four of the last 6 years, so he's had consistent production across, you know, the last 6 years. Now, what does that mean? He's also 34, so this feels kind of like the year that he falls off, but if he's a value, I'd take him. And in Dynasty, you're looking for those values, right? You're looking for that wide receiver that might be, you know, have a comparable year to Jones. But if somebody's going to pay up, you know, and spend $13 on Jones and you can get Edelman for six, then I want Edelman. I want to take and reallocate those dollars into getting my running back or getting my quarterback or getting an extra linebacker that I want. Versus that trade-off between Jones and Edelman, because I don't think it's that big of a gap, but I think that's all dependent on value. And like I said, from a value standpoint, in redraft, he's going as the number 33 wide receiver. The people that are immediately around him are Tyler Boyd, Will Fuller, Debo Samuel, and Michael Gallup. In Dynasty, of course, you want all of those guys over Edelman because they're super young. They're in, you know, pretty up and coming offenses. But in redraft, I probably only want Gallup. Boyd, you don't know what you're going to get from him. If AJ Green comes in and takes targets, then Boyd's value goes down. Joe Mixon is probably going to be more involved in the passing game. You know, Joe Burrow is still a rookie. So that's a little bit hairy there. Will Fuller is an injury waiting to happen. I have him for a dollar on my dynasty team. I'm actually really bullish on him this year, but he'll go out there and strain his hamstring or his MCL or a quad or a pec or whatever else can get injured on the guy by week two. So he's going to be on the shelf. So of course I want Edelman. He seems to never be hurt. Debo's already hurt. He's going to miss the vast majority of the year or, you know, first 6 weeks probably. So, I don't want him. And Gallup, there's also some questions there, right? So does Gallup turn into the number three in Dallas? And if that's the case, you know, is he poised for 70 catches versus 90, you know, the 90 catches for 1100 yards that he had last year? So there's a world where Edelman is the value out of all of those guys and needs to be moved up the board a number, you know, wide receiver 33. He's, you know, in an 8-team league, you're pushing, you know, wide receiver four and five there. And I don't think Edelman is less than a wide receiver three on the vast majority of teams. So.
Yeah. So real quick, Matt, you mentioned great points. I think Edelman is value. I think he's probably going to end up being a better value this year than Marvin Jones will. I do think Marvin Jones is going to go for a bit more than he is. But you mentioned somebody that is also available in our auction that I wanted to ask you a quick question on AJ Green. So what's the over under on AJ Green? Where do we got that at? $20 on salary? 25?
So I'm going to actually look at my cheat sheet and see who needs wide receiver. So I actually think he's going to go, we're really the only one who needs a wide receiver. Like everybody else has seven plus wide receivers. You and I are the only ones who have a depth concern at wide receiver. And I really only need one. So if you're waiting on me to bid up AJ Green, you're going to be waiting for a while, or you're just going to get him super cheap. So, well, you won't get him that cheap because I'll make sure and push up that auction, but, I think 20 is probably a good number. I think somebody will spend up just for the name. And 20 isn't that much. I mean, really, if you think about it, that's not a ton on a $350 salary or $350 salary cap. So spending 20 on a guy who could be a top, you know, who could be a top 20 wide receiver, honestly, not to use, you know, a kind of a duplicate value there, but I think he could be a top 20 wide receiver if he can stay healthy. Problem is health. So I don't really want him. I would rather have Edelman or Jones, simply based on their injury history, and I think the value is going to be pretty similar, because this isn't the year where everybody's going to be spending up on wide receivers. It's going to be in the running back room. So
let's make a, cause we've got an end of season bet wager. Let's make a beginning of season wager six pack. So, AJ Green, do you want the over or under on $18?
Do I want the over or under on $18?
On 18, yeah.
Over, because that means that I can just waste $18 and draft AJ Green and get a six pack. So yeah, over. Lock it in.
Well, let's put a caveat on that
real quick. You proposed it. All right. Live by all right. Live by your word.
Hell, if you got it, hell, I'll drive it up even more if you go past that. So yeah, that's cool. I'll take the under on that. So. All right, number two bet for the season, AJ Green. Matt is taking the over on 18. He's probably going to win it, but he's going to spend way too damn much on AJ Green. So well worth a six pack. All right, so we've got our number one targets that we're going after. Who's your dart throw?
Who's my dart throw for
wide receiver?
Wide receiver. I think it has to be my first one would be Alan Lazard. He's going to be the number two in Green Bay. I'm not sure if that means a whole lot, but he's shown flashes, and he was a pretty good stud in college. He was in Iowa State. He was a Cyclone, wasn't he? I think I remember seeing him burn a couple of the K-State DBs in college. Mm-hmm. So I like Alan Lazard, but I just don't know if there's a ton of value in Green Bay in the receiving core right now. Other than that, it is a really thin wide receiver group. I don't really want any of them, honestly. I don't have a lot of dart throws in there, because I already have a bunch of dart throws on my team right now. I have Deontay Johnson. I've got Will Fuller. I've got I think I had another one in there that is escaping my memory now, but I've already got guys like that. So I don't Marquise Brown. I've got Marquise Brown in there too. So I've already got that version of the wide receiver that I think might break out. So I don't want to keep loading up on might break out wide receivers. So I'd rather throw. That's why I had a lot of dart throws at running backs. I need to take more shots at running back than I do at wide receiver. I won't be very heavy in the free agent auction on wide receiver minus AJ Green now.
So hey, I got a couple rookies that I want to talk about, because those are long-term dart throws. Then I got a fun one to throw in there too, that is sort of Gronk-like for me, like what it was last year. So a couple of my rookies that I'm looking at targeting that are, you know, obviously probably not this year dart throws, next year dart throws, Antonio Gandy Golden, rookie out of Washington. He's been doing a lot of great things out there. So he's on my target list, you know, for dollar spend, see what he does. Drop him if I have to, if he doesn't do much and I need the roster position. And then Tyler Johnson out of Tampa Bay. So you got a couple of high flyers already in Tampa Bay, in Mike Evans and why can I not remember their number one guy out there? Why can I not remember?
Godwin.
Godwin and Evans. So you got Godwin and Evans out there already in the one and two slots. Tyler Johnson, rookie. I think he profiles really well. I think he could do really well in that scheme. The other really crazy dart throw that I'm looking at this year is Antonio Brown. So he's available. He's not on a team, literally in our league, and actually on the field. Now, if he does, he's already subject to, if he does get picked up, he's already subject to a 6-game suspension. So you gotta pick him up and hold him. But geez, if he gets on the field, there's some rumors flying around that Seattle is an option. That would be pretty wild to see Antonio Brown and Russell Wilson paired up together. I think that's worth a look at in the auction, to pick him up and hold him if you've got the positions available, and just set him and wait and see what happens. Because if he plays, it's going to be, if he plays for more than a week, I should say, or more than a game, it's going to be, it'll be a pretty big pickup. We also talked about DeSean Jackson. I'm not going to go into that a whole lot. He is available. I think he's probably one of those low dollar values, not one. I think he's probably going to go for, between 6 and 8, I think is probably a good value for him. That's probably where we're going to see him land. But that's somebody that, I think is probably going to get targeted a little bit too. All right. Tight end. Do we want to talk about the tight ends?
We can't. There aren't that many. I want Jonnu. That's really all I want. But I already have Zach Ertz and I've got Blake Jarwin. So how often am I going to start Jonnu? Probably not very often, because if Ertz is healthy, he's gonna be my number one. And Jonnu is not gonna jump into kind of that flex spot either. So we're able to flex our tight end into one of our wide receiver positions if we want to. I've got some pretty good wide receiver depth right now that he wouldn't jump into that. So I'm not super interested at tight end either.
I've got Evan Ingram, injury risk, and Gronk, who's I'm probably going to retire after this year, but I'd be targeting again, right? So I'm going to probably be targeting Higbee, Hurst, and Gesicki. Can probably pick all of them up for $1. I might have to spend a little bit more for Higbee to get him, but I think between those three, get a pretty solid long term backup tight end if and when needed, if Evan Ingram goes down. So. Okay. Yeah. So, we've got a pretty packed week ahead of us. We've got our auction on Thursday. There's probably going to be a little bit more prep I've got to do tomorrow. And then we'll have the auction on Thursday. We're actually going to do a live Zoom call with everyone. I think it's really the first time we've ever done that. We've usually had just kind of a chat going, things like that, just making fun of everyone. But I think there's going to be some pretty good jeering going on as folks spend too much, as folks pick up some folks for cheap that probably shouldn't go as cheap as they're going. And then following the auction, we're actually going to have a guest speaker join us. Matt, I'll let you, if you want to say anything about our guest.
Yeah, it's the one and only Scotty McFarland. You might know him from our logo on the Burners emblem there. He is Mr. McGiblets. That is his team name with us. He's a guy that I met through work. He is a diehard K-State fan, and just a hell of a guy. So, he loves podcasting. He's got one that, I'll have him drop into the conversation when he introduces himself next week or on Thursday. And you guys will love this character. I promise you that.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. So this is our first official podcast guest. So it's going to be really interesting. And we've had Scotty in the league. He's been in the league since the inception too. So it really all 18 or all 8 original owners are still there. But Scotty has given us some tips and tricks as far as working through a podcast and starting one up. So I think it's going to be really fun to have him on as a guest and talk about the auction, and then. Maybe dive into some surprise things that happened from the auction, but overall just kind of chat and get his take on some things. It'd be fun, different perspective than just hearing Matt all the time, because that's kind of nice to get somebody else's perspective for once. So All right, well, I think that about does it. So Matt, let's take the pads off.
Wrap it up.
And And we will see you all on Thursday. It'll really be on Friday. We'll get everything edited right after the auction. As soon as we finish the talk with Scotty, we'll get everything edited and put up that way so everybody can listen to it on Friday and hear all of the exciting pickups from the auction. So thank you everyone for joining, and follow us at FB Burners on Twitter. We're also on three platforms: Anchor, Spotify, and Breaker Podcast. So go to your favorite audio listening medium and pick up the episode. So thanks for everything, and we will talk to you all back on Friday.
See you Friday, Burners.